Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Churchill Downs, Sirius 219. XM 201 Sports Zone 964 if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. A very good Wednesday, midweek, and they'll draw the opening night card for the Churchill Spring Meet that will lead to Oaks and Derby and all the excitement typically on that opening night scene here. Downs after dark, and of course there will be, the chance of violent weather, because you can't have opening night at Churchill without a tornado warning. I'm just kidding. But there was that one year with the hail, and oh my God, that was crazy. There's been a couple of, I'm telling you, there's been at least two that I can recall, right? That the weather went kablooey. Keeneland winding down across the state, and they get back at it today. Three more days of racing at Keeneland, and cards are okay. We got a few more two-year-old races, and there's some interesting siblings to consider and to notate for you, including today, actually. You've got that Keep Me in the Game, if you haven't seen this. Shug sends out the new Money Honey half-sister that Andrew Rosen has. And that'll come today in the 7th. Is it the 7th or is it earlier? I think it's... There's a bunch of maiden races today. It's the 6th. The 6th. The 7th is the mile and an eighth. Mile and a 16th, and then, there you go. So the two-year-old race is the 3rd, and the 6th, Keep Me in the Game, the Pioneer of the Nile, my God. Too many PPs to deal with. But an interesting... afternoon. There we go. Finally. Keep Me in the Game. $435,000 Keeneland yearling. Bred by Windstar out of the Distorted Humor Mare. Weekend whim. And been working right along at Payson and then came up to Keeneland for Shug and debuts in here with Joel Rosario. And there's a few other notable... went through the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday action. Wesley Ward seems primed for these last couple of days of baby races as well. You've got a couple of horses that came out of the March sale. In fact, Anna's Fast, the one that probably will be focused on. This is a Fast Anna Philly, $470,000 for Breezy and Wesley Ward, who's won 6 of 30 going into the final few days. This is a horse that has been pretty much picked up where she left off coming out of the sale. So those are a couple of the notable spots. There's also, I mentioned, the longer 7th race, the mile and a 16th maiden race, and something caught my eye there too. Nick Zito has got the notable Cavaradossi. And Nick took over Cavaradossi for Vinny Viola and company. Todd, of course, had started out with the Spitestown colt. This is the sibling of no less than Carpe Diem. Yeah, and of course, being have to Carpe Diem also makes Cavaradossi a half to Farrell and that very nice family. So 9-2 in that seventh race, making a second start for Nick. Went short at Oaklawn just 3-4 weeks ago. And actually he'd run at Keeneland and had run very well last April. Got beat by Just Whistle. So some notable action today. Keeneland, last 3 days of the spring meet before the scene shifts here. And, of course, we've already got a little bit of stakes action. You know, the Bewitch on Friday at Keeneland to close out their stakes schedule. And we've also already drawn that card at Lone Star for their first big stakes sequence, including the Steve Sexton Mile, which actually drew a nice field again, the Grade 3. Group of 10, and we'll get to that as we get closer to the weekend. The conversation regarding Derby and Oaks, very quiet morning. We'll talk to Mike Welsh later, probably at the top of hour 3. But it was a relaxed morning on the Derby-Oaks front. There were a couple of things that were worth mentioning, and that includes Wara Will, who made his first appearance at Churchill, came over from Keeneland, and looks good. Whatever was ailing him, whatever went wrong, you know, the issue that tumbling out of the gate in the Louisiana Derby and then never really engaging and kind of protected by Tyler Gaffleone. Well, he certainly looks fine. You got a very tough question to answer. If you're interested in Wara Will, he's been coming up a lot. John White certainly has an interest, and he's not alone. There's plenty of people who think that this is one of those unique opportunities. But as I just said, Darren Rogers and I were talking about it minutes ago, and it's one thing when Thunder Gulch, came out of Florida and didn't run well in the bluegrass. that was a little different than this. It has certain parallels, the two wins and then the off race, but there wasn't such a question about, what went wrong physically. And then, basically within a week to 10 days, back, not even a week to 10 days, as soon as he got back to Kentucky and got checked out head to tail, he was back working. And from a visual standpoint, there's nothing wrong with him. It's a question of whether you can take him coming out of that performance. And that's one of those questions that will be tough. But he certainly looked good. Certainly looked good in the flesh. Got a chance to see Pliska Parfait this morning galloping around. Bill Mott and his pair, Tacitus. Bill leads Tacitus out every morning. Country House Trails. frequently going up on his hind and pulling a point given. Omaha Beach out galloping. Just a very mundane kind of a morning for the Derby and the Oaks winners. I would say that Country House, I'll see what Mike Welsh says. Country House, in his second time around, he got into it a little bit off the turn, and he finished with a little bit of a flourish. He's a good feeling horse, as they say. Needs pace and is going to have to come running. And, word was circulating yesterday as we were getting off the air about Flavian Pratt, the opportunity that he was going to potentially have for Country House, and actually talked to Derek Lawson, who was kind of in an awkward position. He's got the favorite, obviously, Bellafina for the Oaks, and there was a point where he very well could have been sitting on the favorite for the Derby as well, which would have been an amazing way to come into Derby Oaks weekend. But, you know, the Omaha Beach turf question and kind of the slow beginning coming together, and when an occasion arose to make a choice, as it happens, they chose Galilean. And this happens. That's, you know, part of, you know, part of the fascinating world of the Derby Mount, and the way, you know, sometimes, you know, the way Johnny Velasquez ended up on Animal Kingdom. This happens a lot when it comes to the assignments, and some horses and horsemen end up hooked up with riders that you wouldn't necessarily associate them with. So we've still got two horses to finish up in terms of their mounts, Cutting Humor and Grey Magician still need riders. And Flavian Pratt really was in play for all three. Some others this morning out there, Lady Apple. And speaking of siblings, Lady Apple has got, there's one of the Apple, the, was it Miss Golden Apples, the dam? There's a Lady Apple sibling running tomorrow or Friday. Caught my eye, having seen Lady Apple. Also got a chance again to see Emotion, first time since we saw her at Oaklawn, behind Lady Apple in the Fantasy. Leora's out there every morning just clicking along. And that was the, you know, for the most part, that was pretty much the highlight of the morning. No works and nothing of particular note. We'll let Mike Welch give you some of his initial thoughts. One of the things that we always laugh about here every time we come, this lead up, you know, you see other horses working, obviously, and you see whether it's workmates or whether it's, you know, horses before or after the Derby Oaks session. And right after the big names and the feature players left the racetrack, happened to see Bulletin come out. And, of course, Bulletin for Todd Pletcher, working his way toward an Ascot run, and it was nice to see Bulletin. John called down to me and said, "There's Bulletin," and watched him go around a couple of times, and he'll run on the weekend. So we'll keep an eye out. There's no guarantee we find another Teppan. That was one of the great discoveries of Derby Week, going back several years when Teppan was suddenly caught everybody's eye and emerged on Derby Oaks weekend. Was that the Edgewood? And that was one of those horses that everybody said, "I'm not sure who I'm betting in the Derby, but I know that I'm betting that Teppan out of the Cassie Barn." So we'll get some thoughts from Mike. A couple of notes from yesterday as well before we go to the break. And after Tom Amos joined us here, we waited and then saw later in the day the clean scope and the A-OK from the veterinarian team that and Joel Polito, the owner, that Amos powwowed with, and Serengeti Empress. She's a go. Serengeti Empress is set. And that actually, one of the horses that, you know, there was at least a little uncertainty about, that does no favors for Cookie Dough and Dunbar Road, who are sitting at 15 and 16. I think both of those parties were, Stan Gold and Chad Brown were probably wishful that Serengeti Empress bypassed the Oaks, but she's set. So unless there's another defection or something goes wrong with the rest of that group, Cookie Dough sits 15th, Dunbar Road 16th, and RS2 17th. For those of you that haven't done copious amounts of work for the Oaks, Bellafina and Champagne Anyone, Street Band, the Larry Jones, Cindy Jones, and in fact, there was a note about Street Band. She was out there this morning. Medallion Racing, here it is. Medallion Racing and My Racehorse have bought in to Street Band. So the Joneses taking a little off the table, which frequently happens in this setting. Street Band, Lady Apple, out for a spin. The Upsetter, the Oaks Fairgrounds, Dallas Stewart, of the Ashland. Leora, Wayne Catalano, out there every day, chugging along. Restless Rider, Kenny McPeak, Serengeti Empress, Amos, Motion to Motion, Jaywalk, kind of the out of sight, out of mind. We'll talk about Jaywalk well before next Friday. Debbie Oxley, her Chocolate Kisses, Mark Cassie, Jeltrin, the Upsetter down in Florida, Alexis Delgado, Positive Spirit, we talked to Rudy Brissett, of course, Mike Ryan's Philly, and Florida Lamar, Bob Baffert. Just 40 points at the bottom of the list of 14, but the $80,000 in earnings, enough to put her in ahead of Cookie Dough, Dunbar Road, and Eris 2. They all had 40. Eris 2 had less, I think. Yeah, Eris 2 had less. So there's an Oaks snapshot. The Oaks just doesn't get... What are you going to do? The Oaks just doesn't get the same attention, but we understand why, right? I've got to write up the Express Bet wagering guide entry after the show today, and it's brutal. Brutal. But I was doing all the little news and notes stuff that is fun and always produces, you know, lots of little interesting notations. You know, who's the trainers and jocks, and how many mounts, and you know, how many times they've been involved and that kind of thing, and leadership positions, career records in this race. And Baffert, obviously. Baffert, 5 wins, 3 seconds, 3/3, and 29 starts. Everybody else, Kieran, Bill Mott, and Steve Asmussen, they're all looking for their first with multiple tries at it. Let's take a break. We're just getting going. Pete Fornatel in a little bit. Andy, Sid, some sales results. Back after this, the Churchill Downs.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
With 30
25 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you grow up, live like a good boy oughta, and your mama takes a shine to put their son.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes into hour one, day three, Wednesday, here at Churchill Downs. And looking forward to Saturday card, getting going. And also should note that, of course, Belmont, they're getting ready to open the meet. Have the first weekend of action, too, at Big Sandy. They had the opening session of the four-day Ocala Breeder Sales Company April sale, and we talked to Tom Ventura, and then the day was kind of steady. It was not a flashy, let's put it that way. It wasn't a flashy day sale, but it was solid. Three horses at 400,000 and above to get things going, and the big name. I'll bring this up mostly with Sid. I don't have to spend too much time here on the sale, because I'm going to bring it back to Sid. But Manuel de Saru with Narvik, they bought like 11 horses. Unbelievable. I'm just looking for the one. I mean, there was a few on the high end, but most notably, the second highest colt price, that was the Uncle Mo out of Isabel Bally, the Niall Brennan consignee, 4.25 for Mr. Yoshida. But there were a bunch of six-figure purchases. We'll see how active De Saru remains through the sale. Tim Hills, for longtime clients, the Welches, and $430,000 for the hard-spun colt out of Catterbug. That was the session topper yesterday. Here it is. The page. This came well into the sale, and Catterbug produced. She's a producer. She's had 6 racing age, 5 got to the track, 3 winners. The second dam, Miss Kate, of course, continues to produce, and Outplay happens to be one of hers, the brother of Catterbug. And it's also the family, among other things, of Clear Mandate, strong mandate, et cetera, all the mandates. An odd deal. I loved odd deal. Third dam is a half to creme fraiche. So that was your session topper, and I certainly am going to bring up with Sid one of the fascinating subplots to the sales of late, and that's the approach that the top owner, Seth Klarman, is taking. We talk about the individuals, and I brought up that Amir is Prince and his presence in this sale, and here was a $200,000 and change purchase, I think $210,000, $230,000 for HIP 240. And Klarman is making a habit of this. finding pages that individuals that aren't, aren't necessarily flashy on paper, but must be strong individuals. So we'll do more of the sale conversation with Sid at the top of hour two. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. One thing I noted about that action yesterday, it wasn't a great day for pinhookers, from what I could tell. And certainly early on, because I was watching about the first, hour and 20 minutes or so, and there were a number of horses that got knocked down for less than they were bought as yearlings or wherever they happened to have been acquired. So that kind of caught my eye. So we'll watch for that. And there are a few of those, those big six figure types that, are going to have to, really fetch real money on this end. So, we'll keep tabs on that as the sale continues. I mean, for instance, today, HIP 510, Hartley DeRenzo, the $300,000 September yearling, Keeneland, Pioneer of the Nile out of Pure Smiles. HIP 510, $300,000. Randy Bradshaw, $270,000 for the Liam's Map shortly thereafter, HIP 512. Decent start to the sale, but we'll keep an eye on it here day two, and we'll get some feedback from Sid. A couple of other stories. Let's do a little Stronach news, both the Stronach group and of the Frank Stronach variety. And, of course, last night, that press conference and media opportunity, I suppose, that Frank conducted in Arcadia yesterday, produced an interesting, certainly it's a concept that even we heard when we were out in California about Frank, trying to gain some traction for leasing Santa Anita to the horsemen. And he more or less, I guess, fleshed it out, the coverage. I know that Ray Pollock went out and listened, and Ray wrote up what transpired, and it's not something that is going to gain any traction. It's something the horsemen, I think, would probably love to see happen at this point, but the sad truth of all that regarding Frank and Belinda Stronach is that the Frank is on the outside looking in right now. And the lawsuit is out there, but it doesn't seem to have any potential here for a change. It is in the Stronach group's control, and Frank, having relinquished it to run for office in Austria, he he's on the outside right now, and I'll see if there's any other, if we hear from any other. I'm sure by the time we talk to Hammer on Friday, there'll have been more feedback and some more widespread reaction. Meanwhile, the Stronach Group has named Dr. Benson, who, of course, we talked to the RMTC visits. They've named her chief veterinary officer. And certainly an outstanding resume for this. And, this is a position that was created, as part of the laundry list of actions that the Stronach Group wanted to employ in response to the spate of fatalities at Santa Anita. And Dr. Benson will not just supervise and put a program together for Santa Anita, but for all of the Stronach Group racetracks, Golden Gate and Gulfstream and Pimlico and Laurel. So I guess congratulations to Dr. Benson. And that'll leave RMTC looking for a new executive director. Speaking of credentialed and famed veterinarians, saw the news that Dr. Teeland, at the age of 95, died earlier this month, apparently April 3rd, in Charlotte. And for those of you that race in Florida, Teeland, Franklin, Broken, they're prominent. And I told that story with Tim Grahams about Bow Lane, the horse in question that brought up My Beholder. He was treated at Teeland, and they were wonderful getting him back healthy. But if you haven't seen the obituary for Dr. Teeland, Melbourne, his first name, and originally from Iowa, went to Iowa State, and had a fascinating career, including working with NASA. And this, I had never seen this before. He was in charge of the primates, of the chimps that were in the test rockets. Quite something. I would love to read more about that. And of course, makes you think of that great scene in The Right Stuff, where we need a spaceman to be tough. We were thinking a chimp. and Dr. Teeland supervised the chimps. That's one of the funny scenes in The Right Stuff early on. Who knew, right? And then later in South Florida, brought on Dr. Franklin and Dr. Broken, and they evolved into an equine practice. He was a past president of the AAEP, and really a distinguished, one of the real distinguished vets of our lifetime, and dating back to really to the 50s. So I wanted to make sure everybody heard that. Speaking of veterinary things too, I want to fold in with Sid a topic that came up. I don't know if you saw this in the TDN yesterday, but you'll recall the conversation we had coming out of OBS March, and I'd been standing with Pat Hoppel's team and with Aaron Yagoda at their place, watching that Justin Philip get scoped over and over and poked and prodded and just just examined left and right. And that that happens when you've got a top potential top seller at a sale. The conversation that came up, and I brought it up with Tom Ventura, too, when we talked about having in the repository one scope on video that everybody would have an opportunity to view. And Tom explained at the time, you know, that there was a movement toward this or interest in this several years ago, and it never really took hold because buyers, you know, prospective buyers, they wanted their own vet to view a scope and to, you know, see it for themselves. And, you know, there's speculation that, you know, not every scoping is the same, not everybody sees the same things, etc. So there is, Bill Finley wrote a piece about this, and this is well worth following up. That caught my eye just because it was a question that I asked after watching that Justin Philip get just examined over and over, literally vets lined up, three of them in a row. And at a certain point, Pat Hoppel said, you know what? How about tomorrow? The horse has had enough. It was like late in the afternoon. It's like 3-4 o'clock, and he'd been, you know, trotted out a dozen times. So this could be something that you know moves in a positive direction. It seems to me like it's a natural. Couple of other Derby notes. Another twist of fate, officially. Blaine Wright made the call. They're not, even if there had been withdrawals that might allow another twist of fate to get into Derby, they're bypassing Derby. They're going to wait for Preakness. So that conversation we had with Kelly Rubley, where we talked about her horse, Always Mining, and Owendale potentially for Brad Cox and another twist of fate. Those are your three working Preakness probables for now. All right. And I'll give you another little note and we'll take the break, and Pete Fornatel is going to join us. The four-star event that always coincides with pre-Derby week that takes place at the Horse Park, and I've been several times. It is wildly entertaining, and certainly want to root for the thoroughbreds that are participating. And by my count, there's a couple of crossbred, part thoroughbreds, but it looks to me like there are six thoroughbreds. Including three international participants, one from Australia, one from Mexico, and one from Canada. But the three domestic players, Tactical Maneuver with Ashley Johnson from Ocala. And Ashley coaches the Gator Intercollegiate Eventing Team. Ashley Johnson, number 10, with the Thunder Gulch. How old is he? 14 years old. Tactical Maneuver. Then there's Unmarked Bills for Chris Talley from Jeffersonton, Virginia. Unmarked Bills is a posse that is how old? 20? No, not 20. Where'd he go? Where's Unmarked Bills? He's 10. Unmarked Bills. Diamond A originally bred him. And then there's Jack My Style, Buck Davidson from Unionville, Pennsylvania, the hotbed of equestrian life in eastern Pennsylvania, and 14-year-old of unknown origins. They know he's a thoroughbred, but they don't know who. That's pretty funny. A sire and dam. He's a thoroughbred gelding. That's kind of funny. It's his first five-star event. So good luck to the off-the-track thoroughbreds at at Land Rover. It's not Rolex anymore. It's hard to not say at Rolex. Back after this, Pete Fornatel joins us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Whether you're playing at home,
the quest for $1 million is underway, but there are still some great prizes to be won.
Whether you're playing at home,
the quest for $1 million is underway, but there are still some great prizes to be won.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet, and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. 20 minutes to the top of the hour. Pete Fornatel going to join us. We'll do some contest scene conversation. And, you know, since I mentioned the Land Rover event over at the horse park, I'll add to the mention from the other from yesterday, I think. I told you that that senior senator, Skip Crawford's absolute terror on the timber circuit for Joe Davies, and he won the Hunt Cup last year, and he was the feature. Remember, he was featured, was it CBS, I think, did the feature on Senior Senator, and the sequence, the three-week gauntlet on the timber side of things, and Senior Senator followed up the Hunt Cup with the Grand National, and has got he's got the third is 3 weeks this week, right? Third week is coming. The Hunt Cup is next, right? You had what was the first one? Well, he's looking to sweep again. I'll just tell you that he's We got to get Joe Davies on. He's done an amazing job with senior senator, the domestic dispute. You know, they say every stallion, every sire gets at least one great horse, and maybe it turned out for domestic dispute that it's that it's senior senator winning. And you know, there's not huge money in it, you know that, but still, he's a terrific talent. And you know, we met with Bill Gallo the other day in advance of the Temple Guathme and Moscato. Speaking of being on a roll, Jack Fisher is out of control. Another three wins on Saturday at Middleburg for Jack Fisher. So there's your chasing update. Pete Fornatale standing by, and I was on my way here Saturday, of course, and was hoping that was going to join Pete on the fundraising effort on Derby Wars, but it looks like it was a complete rousing success.
We really had a great time. You were sorely missed, and I'm sorry we didn't get that worked out. We had some minor tech issues, as is customary on a maiden voyage for something like this. They cross-promoted live broadcast game between our friends at Derby Wars, in the Money Players podcast team, and of course our friends at Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. So not having you was maybe the lone disappointment, Steve. It really ended up being an amazing thing. Mark Midland confided later he thought maybe we'd get 30 or 40 people. We had 118. People showed up for the horses. All of the proceeds getting donated to Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. It was a wild and woolly contest, really the cream of the crop of tournament players. Paul Sherman's name was up there at the end, Brent Sumja, Michael Baychok, Garrett Skiba. Everybody seemed to take turns making a serious run at this thing. In the end, they were all also-rans to Michelle Yu, who was challenged on Twitter by Jonathan Kinchin, and not only accepted that challenge, but bested the people's champion, ends up walking away with something on the more than, I think, $6,000, a really, really nice hit. Rumor has it some of that may be getting donated back to the TRF. We'll see. There's no obligation to do that in this contest, but a lot of people took the opportunity. But yeah, Michelle was spectacular, going runner-runner at the end with a couple of long shots to get the job done. Horses that she had good cases for in both instances, and really was just a very fun and very fast 90 minutes. It reminded me a little bit, Steve, of the NHC coverage that we do with different people popping in and the action to follow. And I think it was so successful that I'm confident saying there'll be another one down the pike soon. And I don't know if we're going to get a storyline as good as Michelle Yu beating the group the way that she did, but there'll be some other story that will emerge for us to follow. And people are interested to see the replay. Apparently that's just about to be made public. I'll send that out via Twitter. And we really had just a great time, and it's always a pleasure to get to talk about stuff like that with you, even if you weren't able to be part of the main broadcast.
Well, you also had the magic coupling where you described Michelle Yu Hu. So you did say Yu Hu on the air, which is
please
fabulous.
Please tell her that was a pure accident.
We should get Yu Hu as a sponsor.
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea at all. They you know, they have the famous, I'm sure you know this, for fantasy baseball. Mm-hmm. That's the traditional ceremony when you win is the Yoo-hoo shower. So maybe we could incorporate that somehow into next year's NHC and then get rich off the deal.
Well, that goes all the way back to the book when the boys wrote the Rotisserie League Baseball, the original 84, basically, and you they had created the Yoo-hoo tradition. Tina has her group. You know, she takes care of the student council at Salem, and very frequently she'll say to me, I'll get a text, I've got a meeting, I got the kids tomorrow, we need 28 drinks and 28 snacks, and so I'll have to go, you know, shopping and get. So I was inspired one recent trip to the store, and there was like a 30 count case of Yoo-hoo that you know, with the straw, with the, you know, the like a juice box style aseptic packaging, and I thought, I wonder how many if I get Yoo-hoo, I wonder how many of these kids have had Yoo-hoo, And I told Tina, I said, find out, see what the I'm curious what the reaction is. And sure enough, about half the kids were, they were delighted to get, and the other half that had never seen Yoo-hoo, they were intrigued and they liked it. And of course, Yogi Berra, Yogi's long association with Yoo-hoo.
Yep. That's how I would have first heard about it, was through that, that particular marketing partnership. And if the business manager for In the Money Media, Drew Cotney, is listening, I'm telling you, cold call Yoo-hoo today. Let's get this. Let's make this happen.
I love it. How else? You know, what other elements came into play on Saturday?
We started off. It was me and Mark Midland, and then you'll appreciate this too. Dave Gutfreund was supposed to join us for the entire broadcast, but had accidentally double-booked a Seder. So we actually appeared virtually in the midst through Dave's mobile. We had a seat at the Seder table next to Elijah, I presume, and we had a little live look-in. And then Dave went and finished the brisket and joined us for a much longer chunk of the show, which was fun. Always great to get his perspective on these things. And then for the last hour to bring us home, the people's champ himself, Jonathan Kinchin, came along and we got to see him. And for the first time in my life, I saw him in a suit, Steve, and I had the same reaction as everybody else when I first saw JK in the suit, wedding or funeral. Fortunately, it was neither. It just was his way of treating that contest like a special occasion. And in addition to all the money we ended up raising for TRF through the rake on the game, I mentioned a lot of players donated not only their winnings, but just made donations. It took on a little bit of a telethon quality, and we have our custom link, trfinc.org/players, that folks have been regularly giving since TRF came on board as a sponsor. We also got to tell that story. We had Kim Weir of TRF talking about the Second Chances program, and we told the story of how we sort of cooked up this TRF In the Money podcast sponsorship partnership plan, and it all went back to a yoga class we both happened to do on New Year's Day in Saratoga up at Yoga Mandali on Broadway, when we happened to notice, you know, each other four mats away and just got talking about what was going on with the new show and this and that, and thus began this partnership that's been very fruitful. We're working now on sponsoring our third horse for the TRF herd, and it's been very gratifying, and it's always fun when you can do something that is helping others, and in this case, not just equine others, but also the humans associated with that Second Chance program. It's really been a blast. I'm happy to be a part of it.
Very nice. Well, and we'll join you for the next one.
Excellent.
Where are we going next?
I think we should talk about a great opportunity for contest players at Lone Star Park this weekend. This is an event that I haven't heard as much buzz about it as I'd like, and maybe I'll do some tweeting about it as well. There's a $1,000 contest on Steve Sexton Mile Day, which is Sunday. No entry fee and a very NHC seat-rich prize pool. So if you're a Texas horse player, that means you're not going to have it's going to be harder for you to play, generally speaking, in contests without the ADW option to play in live bankroll events. So this is something you should really be considering going out of your way to do. Not only do they have that big race, the Fox broadcast is going to be there, JK is going to be doing some TV work with them and or a seminar on the day, which will be fun, but any opportunity you have to win an NHC seat where you don't have to contribute an entry fee, that's something that if you're serious about getting out to join us in Vegas next year, you should really be thinking about doing. And it's a pretty good ratio, too. I think it's something like 1 in 30 or so entries to seats. I mean, that's pretty spectacular when you consider the fact that there's no entry fee. So I really think that this is one, if you can travel and get to Lone Star for Sunday, that you should really consider doing.
Well, and it's a great, this is a good day of racing that they've got early season here, just getting going at Lone Star, and nice. They've been long associated with the NHC. They've had a long running. You know, it's not necessarily. Well, maybe it, you know, in its own way, it might be Monmouth-esque because they run, you know, they run a series, lots of series of qualifiers.
Yes, that's what they've been known for in previous years, is having several events. I love about this one that it's you've got the bigger bankroll, a slightly bigger bankroll, but not out of reach with $1,000, and then the chance to get your seats despite no entry fee with that type of ratio. Brandon Lee doing a good job over there with the contest program, and it's definitely worth taking a look to see all of what's going on there. And I think that card you point out, Steve, they've already drawn, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
So, yeah, you can see that there's good quality stuff on offer as well, just adding to the appeal.
Excellent. And we didn't get our nice rundown yet from the weekend from some of the other news and notes, so I don't have that to go off. But
I did notice one cool thing on Horse Players that's worth noting, Steve, and that's they did a new promotion yesterday that looked very successful, of a no takeout Tuesday for Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge feeders. And I think it was successful enough that hopefully we can look to see them do more of this type of stuff. You know, when you're talking about a live bankroll contest where so much money is made in terms of just the churn on the betting dollar in the event itself, there is a real logic to what they're doing there yesterday. You know, it becomes less incumbent, I would think, upon an entity like the Breeders' Cup to make money on the qualifying when they're going to make so much money in the event itself. So hopefully this is something that's going to become a trend that will continue. And, you know, I'm always encouraging horse players to vote with their dollar. And I don't mean that in a way of like, oh, avoid this for this reason, that reason. It's more like when somebody does something that you like, whether it's a low takeout pick five or a contest with no rake or a contest where the rake goes to charity, when you support that by participating, you're telling the people involved, hey, that you get it and this is something that is that meaningful to you, and when you're going to support it, that's going to encourage them to do it more. So I'd keep an eye out on Horse Players for those type of promotions in the future and see if we can't get this to become somewhat of a trend. And it's something that just benefits everybody, an advantage type player will have the opportunity to, you know, get the best of it in the sense of you don't have to be giving up a rake, and that's going to help the average player too. There was some comment online I saw that somebody said, like, anybody who thinks that a professional player cares about a feeder, even with no takeout, is just crazy or something. And, you know, maybe that's right. Maybe professional players aren't paying attention to the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge as much as they should. But I'll tell you what, and this is a comment especially for any advantage players whose ears this might hit. Go take a look at the plays from the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge last year. Analyze how many people in that contest did not have a chance to participate in the prize pool with the type of wagers they structure. And tell me a better EV opportunity all year for a horse player than the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge. Frankly, Steve, I don't think you'll find one. And this is something people should be really wanting to participate in, even at the absolute highest levels of betting. And if you have a chance to qualify in an event with no rake, all the sweeter.
Well, and that's actually something that you know, has been floated, or at least the drum has been banged a little bit about, you know, off the sort of the off days. There've been plenty of suggestions, you know, for normal play about doing reduced takeout days, particularly the quiet, you know, the Monday, Tuesday, some of the days where there's limited track offers, that's been something that, since the advent really of the pressure being applied on racing management to address pricing.
More elastic takeout structures. I've talked about this with Marshall Graham. There's a real logic to the idea that a race that has four runners in it needs to have a much lower takeout than a race with 12. And it has to do with how the player can get an edge. The more horses you have in a field, the more chance you have to make a meaningful elimination that can help turn the situation, the parimutuel system, back in your favor and allow you to get the best of it. Short fields tend to be more efficient, much harder to do that. There's a real logic to showing this kind of creativity, and obviously it's very hard in the parimutuel system at nationally. That doesn't mean it shouldn't be attempted, but I definitely applaud contest entities for whom it's a little bit simpler to make those kind of changes to actually be doing them. And hopefully it's just the beginning, and we'll see some more of that elasticity throughout the industry. Hey, look, you got to walk before you run, and it's baby steps, and none of this stuff is going to solve all the big problems tomorrow. And it doesn't mean when I talk about them, it means I'm ignoring all these other things. I get it. There's a lot of ways to go, but as far as we can, if we can make small positive steps in the right direction, I'm going to start walking.
There you go. Well, looking ahead to the weekend, you mentioned obviously the opportunity at Lone Star. In addition, you have plenty of online opportunity at horseplayers.com, and there's the super qualifier. I assume the super qualifier is still a go at Santa Anita.
Yes. From everything I'm hearing, that's going to go ahead as planned. I would imagine there might be a last chance type of qualifying opportunity over at Twin Spires for the Kentucky Derby Betting Challenge. That event certainly is one of the big contests of the year. We just did this Monster Pod Kentucky Derby preview for the In the Money podcast. It'll be going up tonight. We had 23 people, one to talk about each of the 20 horses currently in the race and the first three on the AEs. And a lot of the folks we spoke to will be playing in the KDBC. And, you know, you can do that online as well. I'm just expecting that to be a contest that gets bigger and bigger as the years go on. But, yeah, if you go ahead and look at the Santa Anita website for details on their event this weekend, check out Horse Players, and maybe take a quick look over at Twin Spires as well. You get a pretty good rundown of all the specific opportunities. And then, of course, just to underline one more time, the great opportunity that is Lone Star on Sunday with NHC seats on the line and no entry fee. Hopefully we'll have some fun stories from the contest world to report this time next week when most of the oxygen will be going to a little race on Saturday.
Absolutely. Well, Pete, we'll save it for next week, and I appreciate it. We'll talk. I forget where you're going to be.
I'm staying local. I'm hosting a party in Manhattan, Treadwell Park, great beer and whiskey bar, doing a derby party. Would love to see some At the Races listeners there. It's the Hell's Kitchen location of Treadwell Park. There's drink specials, food specials, bourbon tasting, live music, all the things you'd expect. And we'll also have some sort of charitable raffle with a gambling element for our friends at TRF. If you're not lucky enough to make it down to Louisville, and you're a New York person, come to Treadwell Park. We'll have a good time on Saturday, May 4th.
Excellent. Sounds great. Pete Forditel, everybody, looms boldly. We'll take the top of the hour. And Sid Fernando standing by. And Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale. Stay with us.